Genesis chapter 9. Been moving through the book of Genesis and trying to dig up what we can. Let's start at verse 1, move our way back down so we kind of get the context of where we're going tonight. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. The number 9 sets the theme for what we're dealing with. The number 9 is the number for fruit bearing. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. A woman carries a baby in her womb for 9 months. And I'll tell you this, even the phrase in your King James Bible, the phrase Holy Ghost is found exactly 90 times in this Bible right here. And the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she was with child of the Holy Ghost and called it the fruit of her womb, okay? So just kind of think along those lines there. It's what God wants to produce or what will be produced in our life. Verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And I'll tell you what, I don't need a commandment in the Bible to tell me not to drink blood. Amen. That's just something I'm not interested in. All right. But anyway, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. God is establishing, even before Moses came along, before the Mosaic law came along, before the Ten Commandments came along, as Noah is coming off this ark, and God knows several things. Number one, that the beasts are going to populate the earth, they're going to cover the earth once again. And two things is that once Noah and his family come off that ark, God blessed them by making them fruitful once again. They were not fruitful in that there were no sons or daughters born on the ark, but once they come off the ark, God knows that that's going to happen, and eventually these sons and daughters are going to go out and spread out, and they're going to form villages and camps and groups and towns and things like that, and they're going to need a basis of a civil order in those areas. God always helps establish men's law. And so anyway, as they go out, God is laying a strict rule that he's basically giving them a law here that says that if someone is murdered, then the murderer should be taken from him. This was, and there are people who argue against capital punishment, and they try to do so based on the New Testament, and they say, well, we're not under the law anymore, but I'm telling you, this was given before Moses, given before Abraham. And God, listen, I don't care what happened. There has to be a rule or a standard somewhere. Amen. And there has to be a punishment for that standard. And men have to be in fear that if they break the law, then something bad is going to happen to them. And I want to tell you something. There are whole territories and areas in our country where men and women break the law with no conscience whatsoever. And they are not in fear that they're going to be punished in any way. Never in fear of that, okay? But anyway, won't get into that. But anyway, God said it's wrong, and he said if someone kills a man, then they should have their life taken from them. Then verse 7 again, he says, and you be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. Now he gets into verse 8, and here's what I wanted to get to tonight. And God spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Now remember, I brought this up last Wednesday night, and I told you that in the Bible there are two types of covenants or promises that God would make. In fact, I asked you last week about a covenant. What is a covenant? Some said it's when two people come to agreement. In this case here, the word covenant doesn't really mean when two people come to agreement, because Noah just stood there and said, okay, God gave this covenant. In other words, God gave a promise to mankind, and it's an unconditional promise. Man doesn't have to do anything for it. In fact, God spells out here that man cannot satisfy the conditions of God because he is flesh. How many of you know that? Say amen. I've got an idea to work on a book based upon the Ten Commandments. And I want people to know that You couldn't keep the Ten Commandments, and you couldn't keep the Ten Commandments, and I haven't kept the Ten Commandments, and no one has. Say amen. The Ten Commandments were written to establish the standard that mankind in his flesh could not live up to. That's why we needed a Savior. Amen? That's why we needed a Savior. But anyway, God establishes this covenant with mankind, not based upon anything that man does. Now, there are, if you look over in, let me give you an example real quick of a conditional covenant. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. In fact, there are several places in the book of Deuteronomy where you will find conditional covenants. Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said in verse 1, "And it shall come to pass if, that's a condition, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Then he says, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, in the field, and the fruit of thy body," and all this stuff. But then he says, look in verse 15, "But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Then he says in verse 16, "Cursed shalt thou be." So this promise that he made with Israel, and this is just before they go into promised land. Moses is about ready to die off. He's fixing to go up to the mountainside, and God's going to preach his funeral up there. He's going to die. But God, just before Joshua leads them in there, he gives them a conditional promise. And this is a promise to not to them individually, or not necessarily to them individually, but specifically to them as a country. And I would dare say that it looks like to me that this same promise was made to America. Because I can tell you that if you look historically at the history of America, you can see the blessings and the cursings in America's history. Can I hear you say amen? When there was great awakenings and great revivals in America, and where men were interested in obeying the laws of God, God blessed this nation and set this nation on high above every nation. But when man, and we are in a situation right now where we are turning our backs upon the law of God. Amen. And so do we not think that God is just going to say, "Well, you know, that's under the law and you're not under the law"? You think God's going to say that to this country? The evidence that God still means this is evident in America right now. This country's not going to wake up one day and get better unless these curses come upon them. Because when you keep reading in Deuteronomy 2, you'll see that at some point, God said Israel's going to wake up. They're going to be in bondage, and they're going to wake up, and they're going to say, "You know what? We broke God's law. This is why we're here. This is why our land is laid waste. This is why it's like Sodom and Gomorrah out here." They're going to wake up one of these days and see that they violated God's law, and they're going to want to come back. That's the only way that America is going to come back. Can I hear you say amen? I'd hate for it to go that far. I'd hate for it to go that far in my lifetime, or in my children's lifetime, or in my grandchildren's lifetime. I would hate for it to go that far, but can we not see the day approaching? Can I hear God's people say amen? So that is an idea of a conditional promise. God said, "If you do this, then I will bless this." Okay? "If you don't do this, then I'm going to curse it." But here, he speaks an unconditional blessing. So look at it. In verse 9. Boy, I like it already. Number 9. "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, and of the cattle, and every beast of the field with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." Now, two things I want to address here. Number one, do we believe that the flood was a universal, covering the entire earth, flood? Do we believe that? Why shouldn't we? Well, you know, archaeologists, there's where you went wrong right there. Archaeologists are not the Bible. Amen? Man's authority, I don't care what college they went to, and how many letters they got behind their name, and how many chisels they dug into the rocks, and how many sediments they pulled up, and how many fossils they looked at, they do not override the authority of Scripture. The Bible says that it happened this way, and it covered the highest mountain, 15 cubits. You know what? That's I'm done. I'm settled. I believe it. Amen? Okay. Number two. Now, watch this. Because God said that he would neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. God had already said that it happened once, and he said it's never going to happen again. That tells you that, number one, God destroyed the earth one time with a flood, and number two, it has not happened since this time. Have there been floods? Oh, yeah, there's torrential rains. There's flooding right now here in town. Okay? Merrimack's all backed up. Mississippi River's running hot. The Joaquin's backed up. Everything's backed up. There's floodwaters everywhere. Out east, I saw some news headlines that said it's just raining cats and dogs out there. They got water everywhere. Got all this snow melting all at once, and it's just hitting everybody all at once. There's flooding everywhere. Is there flooding in different parts of the world? Absolutely, and there will continue to be. As long as there's water on the earth, there's going to be flooding. But so far, the earth has not been completely covered by water since God made this promise. Okay, now, I want you to think about this. If God makes to you an unconditional promise, does he break it? The answer is no. He does not break his own word. If he makes a conditional promise, then God doesn't break it. You do. Okay? Because you don't qualify under the conditions of the promise. But if God makes an unconditional promise, he does not turn his back on it. And so the question I'm asking you is, since this time, okay, about 5,000 years ago, has there ever been another flood to destroy the earth and kill everybody and kill every living creature? Absolutely not. God has kept his word now for 5,000 years. And if God can, and how long can we keep our word? You know that when we tell somebody, well, I promised I wouldn't say anything. How long do we hold on to that one? No, don't ask me no more, because I promised I wasn't going to say anything. Please don't ask me one more time. Okay? We don't keep promises. We'd like to. We'd like to be faithful. We'd like to. I was reading the other day about in the book of Psalms, or David said, Lord, I'm going to pay my vows. I'm going to pay my vows. God, I made promises to you when things were bad, and I promised you I was going to do this. God, help me pay my vows. And if you made promises to God, then you ought to ask God to help you keep the promises, unless you're double-minded and double-tongued, and you don't mean what you say. And if you don't mean what you say, why does God want to listen to your prayer anyway? Amen? Because God just knows you're full of hot air. Okay? So if you made promises, ask God to help you keep the promises. All right? But there was a time in this country when a man's was as good as his what? It's as good as his word. If he said it was this way, then it was this way. And God is always as good as his word is. And if you have this idea and the mentality that God's word is not good, then God's not good either. And if the word can be broken, then God can be broken. And if the Bible is full of errors and mistakes, then so is his promises. His promises can be broken. And I will tell you that the conspiracy against God is to try somehow to get God to break his own word. That's why the devil tempted Jesus 3 times in the wilderness. He was trying to get him to break the word. And in response, Jesus gave him what? The very word that the devil is trying to get him to break. That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay? If he can kill God, the promise is off. If he can rewrite the Bible and keep it that way, then no one knows the promises, and then they can be broken. And that's where we're going right now. But anyway, God gives this unconditional promise to planet Earth. He means what he says. The world has been destroyed with the flood, and it will never be destroyed again with the flood, but it is going to be destroyed. Amen? With what? Fire. Let me give you, since we brought the fact, let's read that. That is in 2 Peter. I got this one. Sometimes I need help, sometimes I don't. I got it. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Oh, let's see here. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? Look in verse 12, looking forward, hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, I'm going to give you a little science lesson here, okay? I know a little bit about who knows anything about electricity and electrical charges? Who knows anything about that at all? This is going to be real simple, okay? Who knows anything about magnets and magnetic poles? What happens when you take the north pole of one magnet and try to put it against the north pole of another magnet? What happens, Sterling? They push away from each other. And yet if you turn that magnet around and take the south pole with the north pole, they attract together, right? Because the rule is like charges repel and opposite charges attract. Okay, now let me teach you just a little bit. Since they mentioned the elements, let me tell you what that is. The elements are the very basic things that everything in this world is made of. Let me, I don't have a good illustration here. Let me get this key here, okay? Let's say that this key is pure, I don't know, copper. Let's just say it's copper, okay? Copper is an element. And copper has, at its very core, it has what's called atoms. And the atoms are like these little things that make up copper. And inside the atom, you have positive charged particles called neutrons. And they're all jammed together inside the center of an atom, okay? And outside you have electrons, and they're all spinning around the outside of this atom, and then in the middle you have neutrons which have no charge. What is it in an atom that keeps all those neutrons of positive charges packed together inside the center of that atom? Why don't they repel? Why don't the neutrons of the atom attract to the electrons of the atom and scatter? Has anybody ever thought about that? Does anybody know the answer to that? What is it that is keeping every, when like charges, remember they push apart. Why then don't the like charges in every atom of every element in the universe, why don't they push apart from each other? Jesus is holding them together. The Bible says by him were all things created, and by him all things consist, which means held together. When you're mixing paint, you're looking for consistency. You're looking for how it holds together. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus right now is the one holding it together. And I'll ask you a simple question. Who's holding it together in your life? And when it comes apart, whose fault is that? Is that yours? Okay, or God's? Okay, you got away from God and you couldn't hold it together yourself. Amen? Okay, so watch this. Here's what happens. You ever heard of an atomic bomb? You know what happens? They discovered a way back in the night. They were working on this. They found out a way to split the atom. And when you split the atom, it releases an enormous amount of energy and an enormous amount of what? Heat. What is it that destroys in a nuclear blast? It's the heat. Those at Nagasaki, there are people, in fact, if you ever heard that a nuclear missile was headed toward our area, find out where Ground Zero is and drive to it. You will be better off. Because in one millionth of a second, everything in your body will instantly vanish. Before the nerve endings on your outside of your skin have a time to tell your brain that you're on fire, you're gone. And I'm going, that's the way I want to go. Yeah. Amen. Either that or in my sleep. Okay, and my wife's thinking, how can I work that one out? I can't split an atom, but, okay. So what's going to happen? At the end of time, Christ, who's holding everything in his hand, he's consisting everything together. What's he going to do? He's going to let it go. And the amount of heat and everything, literally, the entire universe will dissolve exactly the way Peter wrote this by inspiration of God 2,000 years ago without the help of Einstein. Amen? Because God is smarter than Albert Einstein. Amen? Okay? That's why nobody ever called God, "Hey, Einstein, he was smarter than that." That was a joke. You should be smarter than that. Anyway, so it's not going to be, I'm not even getting to where I was going tonight. It's not going to be destroyed by flood. It's going to be destroyed by fire, exactly the way the Bible said. Now, let's see here. He said he was never going to do it. Now, I want you to look. He's making a covenant here in verse 12, and 12 is the number for God's promise. And the Bible says, and God said, this is the token. What is a token? It's a sign, okay? It's a symbol that means something. I'm wearing on my finger a token of a promise that I made to my wife. This itself, if I take it off, that doesn't mean I've broken the promise. She takes her rings off when she cleans her hands or does things like that. And if I come in the house and I see her rings laying down on the table, I don't go, "Oh no, I knew this day was going to happen." Okay? That doesn't in itself mean anything. Now, when she's got my suitcases out on the porch and the rings sitting in, I know, okay? But the rings are a token, a symbol of a promise that was made. You were at this wedding here the other day, and they gave and exchanged rings, and they both did so with a promise that they were making one to another, until death do you part, and that's what that ring is. It is a symbol and is a token. It is an adulterous generation that constantly looks for a sign, but it's the grace of a loving God who will give us tokens and signs. And I'll tell you something, if you've ever been down in the dumps, God does not have a problem in the world with you asking God, "God, would you just give me I don't care if it's just a small token of how much you love me today. God, would you just give me a little bit today to keep me going?" How many of you believe that? You can do that, you know. You can ask God, "God, I'm having a rough day, and it seems like you're against me. God, I don't want to lay my head down at night thinking that you're against me. God, would you just give me a little token that you still love me and that your promise is not going to be broken to me?" Does God do that? He does every single time it rains. He does. Every single time it rains, God shows the world. You may not be able to always see it, but I guarantee you it's there. And we're headed into springtime, and those spring thunderstorms are going to move through. When you see the end of the thunderstorm run out, because usually with those storms, when those storms are passed, you give it about another 5 minutes, and the clouds that are with it are going with it. And that sun's going to pop out, and you're going to see how many colors. There's seven. Seven's God's number for perfection. Okay? Seven colors in that rainbow. And you're going to see a picture of a token of the promise that God made to mankind. He's telling you, and he was telling mankind, if you see it rain, don't worry. Because when the storm clouds come and when the rains come, I'm going to show you something that means that I will never, I'm still keeping my word. I am still keeping my word that I promised you. And I want to tell you something. Like I said earlier, when you get down in the dumps, it's okay to start looking for a token that God still loves you. Can I hear God's people say amen? It's okay to ask for that. Gideon asked. And I want to tell you something. You can just see the patience of Almighty God. If you go study the life of Gideon, you will see in Gideon someone who is, he is insecure beyond belief. Okay? The angel of the Lord has promised him so many things, and every time God promised him something, Gideon always wanted a sign to see whether or not it was going to come to pass or not. And finally, it comes down to the fleece. God tells him, "You're going to destroy the Moabites. You're going to go kill them." And he says, "Okay, God, let me do this. I'm going to hang a fleece out, and if the fleece is dry and the ground's wet, then I know." The next morning, the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. "Okay, God, one more time. I'm going to lay the fleece out again, and the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, then I'll know." And God didn't say, "You idiot." God said, "I'll do that." And then on top of that, once that was all said and done, God took Gideon and he said, "Gideon, come with me. I want you to hear something." And God took Gideon to the camp of the Moabites. and he overheard them talking about a dream that they had, that the armies of Gideon were going to destroy them. And at that point, Gideon said, God, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Okay? And I'm telling you, God doesn't have a problem giving you a sign. And it wouldn't hurt you to ask for it. You have not because you ask not. And I have been in situations where I've begged God, God, I'm getting pushed to my limit here. God, show me a sign. Show me something. Now, I don't believe that everything's a sign. Or let me say this. Something will happen. Well, how can I say this? I think some people read things the wrong way and think that everything's a sign from God. And I will tell you that signs without a reliance upon this word are nothing. Can I hear somebody say amen? Signs without a reliance upon God's word mean nothing. But it doesn't hurt us every now and then to look for a sign. Anyway, here's what he said. He said, I'm going to give you a token. And in verse 13, I do set my bow in a cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Now, he's talking about a rainbow here. Okay? So here's, I want to do this very quickly before we dismiss tonight. Take your Bible. Turn to Revelation. Or as some people say, Revelations. Revelations. We could go to, as some people say, Ecclesiastics. Okay? Revelation chapter 10. I like Revelation chapter 10. Beautiful, beautiful chapter. And the symbolisms. I love symbols. This has got a bunch of them. I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Now, some scholars would disagree with this. I respect them. Too bad they're wrong. This mighty angel is Jesus Christ. Okay? He's clothed with a cloud. I don't have time to get into all of it. I wish I did. But I'm telling you, Jesus said he was coming back how? He's coming back in the clouds, brother. Amen? Amen? He's coming back in the clouds. And now look at the second one. And a rainbow was upon his head. Okay? A rainbow was upon his head. God told Noah in Genesis 9, he said, I'm going to give you a sign of my covenant. The word covenant means the same. It means promise all throughout the Bible. And when God makes a promise, he keeps his, all the covenants, the Mosaic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, they all point to Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the promise of God. Somebody say amen. If there's a promise, it's fulfilled in Jesus. I don't care how you look at it, and I don't care who it was delivered to. If there's a promise in the Bible, it was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Somebody else say amen. All right. Anyway, he had a rainbow on his head. God said, when you see the rainbow, that's the token of my promise. Now, think about this for a minute. A rainbow is upon his head. Take your Bible now. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. I want to tell you why I really believe this is Jesus. Because the Bible cannot be contradicted. And it does not contradict itself. Okay? God said, listen to this now. God said, I am God and there is no other, and my glory will I not share with another. Will God share his glory with Lucifer? Absolutely not. That's why he was kicked out of heaven. Okay? Will God share his glory with a statue? That's why we don't have, you don't see any statues around here, do you? Okay? Will God give his glory to four-footed animals? Absolutely not. Will he give them to a beast? Absolutely not. He will not share his glory with any other except his only begotten Son. John chapter 17, Jesus was talking about in his prayer to his Father shortly before they led him to the cross. He was praying about the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. The only one in the world, the universe, in all of God's creation that is worthy to have God's glory is his Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So this cannot be, in Revelation 10, any ordinary angel. Ezekiel chapter 1, look at verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire ran about within, from the appearance of his loins, even upward, from the appearance of his loins, even downward. And I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, talking about his legs. And the appearance, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The rainbow is a symbol of the glory of the Lord. And this angel with a rainbow upon his head is bearing with him the glory of the Lord. Do you believe that? Say amen. Okay. Now, I want to take you to another place. Turn to, well, where can we go? Turn to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. By the way, can someone tell me a story in the Bible where a person is clothed with a rainbow? Joseph. Joseph had a coat of what? Many colors. Who gave him his coat? Did he get it at Goodwill? Did he get it from North Face? Okay. He got it from his father. His father gave him his covering, his coat. Jesus has the glory of the Lord on him because who gave it to him? His father. Exodus chapter 16. Oh my goodness. I just get happy when I talk about this. I absolutely love it. Let me see here. Let me find it here. Help me out here. I'm looking for the cloud and the glory of the here, glory of the Lord in the cloud in Exodus 16. Verse 7. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he heareth your murmurings. I'm looking, there's a verse in here. It says they looked upon, here it is, verse 10. And it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared where? Guess who that was? That was Jesus, amen? He was making an appearance to them, and they didn't know who it was. All they knew was that it was God's glory. And he left manna there. This is the chapter where he leaves manna. And you know what the word manna means? What is it? They didn't know. And so Jesus comes to Israel the first time 2,000 years ago, and they don't know who he is. And he tells them, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they still didn't get it. And by the way, they still don't. But one of these days they're going to know. Somebody say amen. God's going to manifest it there to them. Anyway, back to Genesis chapter 9, very quickly. Man, I love this. I have just tons of verses to go through on this thing. But anyway, by the way, the Bible talks about the day of the Lord. It is coming as clouds and thick darkness. And I'm telling you, there is a storm on the horizon brewing. Can you believe that? Say amen. The storm clouds are forming, my friend. And God, this promise is not only to all creation, but it's to us. By the way, we're going to get to a point where we're going to lift up our heads and we're going to look to heaven and we're going to see our redemption drawing nigh. Somebody say amen. We're going to be looking for our blessed hope. We're going to see Jesus in the clouds and we'll know that God keeps his promise. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you what, I think I'd preach for about another 5 minutes. Anyway, Genesis chapter 9. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when, not if, but when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. This is the 220th verse of the Bible. The number 22 is the number for revelation. The bow shall be seen in the cloud. That's a revelation. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Can I tell you what the fulfillment of this promise is? Because I will tell you that right now, every time it rains, we're in fear of flooding. We're in fear, and we see floods all around us. There will come a time when there will be zero possibility of there ever being a flood anywhere. Do you know why? Because God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And there was no more sea. No more floods. No more. And Jesus is going to be the sign that God's going to keep that promise. And the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. God realizes that there is no way, because he says it in chapter 8. He talks about verse 21, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite every living thing as I have done. He said, I'm not going to do it anymore. He said, man can't help himself. He was shaping in iniquity. So I'm not going to do that anymore. But anyway, we're going to get into, that's the blessing that God makes. And in the last part of chapter 9 next week, we'll get into the curse that God makes. Okay, we're going to study Ham a little bit. Not like ham and bacon or ham and cheese, but we're going to study Ham a little bit and get some wisdom from him. All right. By the way, I had it my idea, and I think I probably have told people before concerning this deal with Ham and Noah and all this stuff. I was studying this again, and I think I've told people the wrong thing concerning this. What I thought was in this passage is not. Okay, and I won't tell you what that is yet, but what I thought was in this passage here is not there. Okay. And I found out I was not only I was wrong, but I know some people that are dead wrong when it comes to this. Anyway, we'll get into that next Wednesday night. Are you going to be here? Say amen. Amen. You better. Okay. Or I'll have Brady and Bradley come to your house.